Hi, we're Josh
and Arielle Wamsley,
owners of Green Valley Tree LLC, based in North Windham.
We're proud to sponsor Connecticut East this week and to serve the communities of Windham and New London counties with our tree removal and plant healthcare services.
Visit our website at greenvalleytreeworks.com for a full list of our services or give us a call on 860-234-4041. We look forward to hearing from you.
Taking on the middlemen, the battle to oust pharmacy benefit managers goes to the Supreme Court. And is CVS moving you from your pharmacy to theirs? A new survey out says yes, they are. So what can you do about it? Plus, a look at other stories making the headlines from around the region. This is Connecticut East This Week. Hello, I'm Brian Scott Smith. Healthcare in the US is always a hot button issue, and every year the cost of our healthcare seems to go up, and we see little extra for the money we pay in health insurance premiums to insurers or for the drugs we get from our pharmacies. So why is that? I spoke recently to Doug Hoy, CEO of the National Community Pharmacists Association, about pharmacy benefit managers, the silent middlemen who control the cost of what you pay for drugs at your local pharmacy, as well as how big players like CVS are steering patients away from their community pharmacies, and how drug manufacturers are restricting access to their drugs for people on low income and users of health centers. Doug, thanks for joining us on the podcast.
My pleasure, Brian.
First story we're going to be talking about is a thing called pharmacy benefit managers. Can you just explain for our listeners what a pharmacy benefit manager is and why they should be concerned about them?
Well, a pharmacy benefit manager, those are some of the largest companies in the world that most people have never heard of. They control the prescription drug chain that for pharmacies and for patients. So most patients, if they look at their prescription drug card, and somewhere on that prescription drug card will probably be the name of their PBM. Three of the PBMs dominate the market. They are Caremark, owned by CVS, Express Scripts, which is now owned by Cigna, and Optum, which is owned by United Health. Those three PBMs make up about 85% of the marketplace. And with that type of market power, they're able to really do some things that we believe are not only harmful, we know they're harmful for pharmacies, but also harmful for patients. Taking one step back of a little bit about how they work and what they do, originally they were created to make it easier for consumers and in some ways easier for pharmacies to process prescription drug claims. So going back several decades, when a patient needed a prescription drug, they would pay cash for that, and then they would have to submit the claim to their insurance company and then wait to get their money back. PBMs 30, 40 years ago said, well, we can automate that by partnering with the pharmacies. The pharmacist processes the prescription, checks for drug interactions, does all of the things that the pharmacist does to make sure that the drug's going to be safe and effective for the patient, and then submits that claim in real time while the patient's standing there. And the PBM sends back a message saying, this is the patient's benefit. This is how much to charge the patient. That by itself is actually an efficiency. It's a good thing. But what's happened over time is that the PBMs have been able to take the data that comes from that transaction, and they've used it to manipulate the pharmaceutical manufacturers. So they extract enormous rebates from the pharmaceutical manufacturers, which that by itself may not be such a bad thing, but where those rebates go is often quite a mystery. And just to give you a sense of size, we're talking about over $100 billion in rebates that are floating around somewhere that are under the control of the PBMs. Those savings may or may not get passed on to the patient. The other pressure point from the PBMs is on the pharmacies. The PBMs are in competition with the pharmacies through their mail order pharmacies. And then the largest chain drugstore in the country, CVS, also owns one of the large PBMs, which is Caremark. So in that case, the PBM decides how much the pharmacy will be paid, but it also pays itself. So it decides its own rates and it decides what its competitor is going to be paid. It's a little bit like if there's any, whether you're a Yankees fan or a Red Sox fan or something in between, it would be like, just say it's the Yankees, it would be like them hiring the umpires to umpire their game. That describes the relationship between PBMs and pharmacies. And really, it's also the relationship between PBMs and consumers as well.
From the point of view of the drugs that people obviously get from their pharmacy, why are they not able to find out from their pharmacist, you know, what is a cheaper drug or what they're being charged for their drugs then?
It's a great question, Brian, because a consumer should be able to know, you know, what their drug is going to cost, what their prescription is going to cost. And also, the pharmacist is in a very unique position because he or she is the only healthcare professional who is the expert on medications. So pharmacists go to pharmacy school to specialize in education about medications for a minimum of at least 6 years of college. Independent pharmacies in particular also know about the pricing and the cost of the drugs. Up until recently, PBMs included in their contracts what are not literally, but figuratively known as gag clauses, which would forbid the pharmacist from talking to the patient about lower cost options that could result in the patient not using the PBM benefit. Because again, the PBM, it's very important for the patient's data to be flowing into that PBM. Because when they have the data, they can use those data to get rebates from the pharmaceutical manufacturer. They can also use those data to know where and when the patient is getting their medication. They can also use those data to steer the patient into whatever pharmacy they want them to go. They'll change the benefit design for the patient to steer that patient to whatever pharmacy they want them to go. So for example, they may say, okay, we want this patient to go to my chain pharmacy, so I'm going to lower their copay by $3. But I need to know that this patient is taking a drug and where they're getting their medication so that then I can pinpoint where I want to steer them into. So the gag clauses, actually just in the last 2 years, when the president signed a bill prohibiting gag clauses in federal programs. So that's been at least a step forward in consumers having the ability to interact with pharmacists to find out the lower cost options that they have. Brian, another thing that's happened with health plans that's causing consumers to pay more money for their prescriptions is the advent of the high deductible health plans. So the high deductible health plans by themselves can be a good thing. The small company that I work for, we have a high deductible plan and it keeps our medical premiums lower. But what the PBMs do in that case is they actually inflate the cost to the consumer until they hit their deductible. So in my case, our deductible is $2,000. And just as an example, my son needed a prescription for an antibiotic. I took it to my local independent pharmacy and asked her what her price is. And she told me, and then I asked her to process it on my insurance, which unfortunately has to use a PBM. And the process price on the insurance was significantly higher than what her normal price would be. And in that case, I knew to ask, and I'm a pharmacist, so I knew the right questions to ask, but many consumers are actually paying more at times when they use their insurance benefit than if they just paid cash. Not always, but there are times when the consumer actually pays more when they use their insurance than if they did not use their insurance.
And apart from obviously hurting the people, the customers and the people who need the drugs, these PBMs and the fees that they are generating also hurt community pharmacies as well, don't they?
They do. They do. They are the cocktail party talk at a barbecue or whatever when I'm, you know, introducing myself and someone says, well, what do? The invariable small talk. And I tell people I'm a pharmacist and tell them that I represent independently owned pharmacies, which are a third of all the pharmacies in the country, are individually owned and not corporately owned, they often say, gosh, it must be tough. You know, I live in the Washington, D.C. area, so major metro area. It must be very tough for your members to compete against the chains. And my answer is that, you know, on a level playing field, our members can compete with the chains all day long. When patients have a choice, they'll often choose an independent pharmacy. But when it comes to the PBMs, the playing field gets tilted and it's no longer a level playing field because the PBMs steer patients into the different choices that they want the patient to go to. So the PBMs have very much changed community pharmacy as we know it. And also even the big guys, the big chains are being impacted. I mentioned CVS owns a PBM, so they're, you know, do a lot of their own home cooking, but Walgreens does not. And in 2019, the poorest performing stock in the Dow 30 was Walgreens. And over the last 5 years, the poorest performing stock was Walgreens. And a lot of that is due to the impact of PBMs. And there's a thing called pharmacy DIRs, which is a sort of an inside baseball term in which PBMs claw back money from pharmacies. But as a result, 4%, so over 2,000 pharmacies have closed their doors pre-pandemic, the 2 years prior to the pandemic. And the result is that patients have fewer choices of pharmacies. There still may be a Walgreens across the street from a CVS in many areas, but there are many more, an increasing number of areas where there are pharmacy deserts, where there is not an option for that patient to have a local community pharmacy. And we've seen in this pandemic how important it is to have access to your local community pharmacist.
Recently, yourself and the state of Arkansas were at the Supreme Court, and you're arguing a case about PBMs. Just tell us roughly how that went, and obviously you are waiting on a decision.
Yes, the Supreme Court took up a case. It was a case filed by the Attorney General of the state of Arkansas, Leslie Rutledge, and it was caused by some pro-consumer, pro-pharmacy legislation that was passed in the state of Arkansas back in 2015. The PBMs have a trade group that represents the 16 corporations called PCMA. So PCMA and their 16 corporate members, PCMA first sued the state of Arkansas, and then some lower courts upheld PCMA's lawsuit. The Attorney General of Arkansas said, nope, we don't agree with this, petitioned the Supreme Court, and the Supreme Court took up the case. The U.S. Solicitor General also weighed in and actually argued in the case in favor of Arkansas. We hope that the Supreme Court will reverse the lower court decisions that would restrict, in this case, the state of Arkansas to have oversight over PBMs. The PBMs are arguing that they should not have state oversight. They also argue that the federal rules don't apply to them either. So they like to live in this sort of this limbo land in between, as a middleman between a health plan. And so they say the health plan has oversight, but not them. But then when the state tries to have oversight over them, they say, well, you can't have oversight of us because we're working for the health plan. So they basically want their cake and to eat it too. We hope that the Supreme Court disagrees with that and says, no, to protect the citizens of whether it's Arkansas or one of the other 49 states, the states should have the ability to have some oversight over businesses in their state that are affecting prescription drug benefits of their citizens. One thing about the PBMs is that, you know, the United States pays more for its prescription drugs than any other country in the world. The United States is also the only country in the world that has given the management of its prescription drug benefit over to PBMs. And there's other factors, I'm sure, that contribute to those high costs of prescription drugs in this country. But the fact that the prescription benefit managers, PBMs, dominate prescription drug benefits in our country, and we still have the highest drug prices in the world, either there's something fishy about that, or they're not doing a very good job, and new alternative models need to be examined. Our federal government relies on these PBMs, and again, the costs from our prescription drugs in this country are the highest. We think our country and employers should be looking at different models to help lower drug costs for consumers.
I guess the point is that all of this, when you bring it all together, ultimately affects how much we are all paying by way of insurance premiums for healthcare and just healthcare in general in this country. I mean, it must all come together and coalesce to create the, you know, the situation which we now see, which is, you know, extremely high healthcare costs in this country as well.
That's right. And prescription drugs are a very effective way to help lower overall healthcare costs when those drugs are used properly, you know, effectively, and patients are adherent to the regimen that their physician has prescribed. But at the same time, if they're not used properly, or if the benefit is not managed appropriately, then it actually can cause costs to go higher. We think pharmacists can really help lower overall healthcare costs when we're allowed to, but unfortunately, there's a lot of rules and regulations, much of them by the PBMs, that restrict our ability to help consumers as much as we would otherwise be able to.
Survey that was released by your organization fairly recently, which was a little bit alarming in clearly what it managed to ascertain, is that there seems to be a situation where patients are being steered away from their pharmacist and their pharmacy by CVS.
Yes, and it's not just CVS. I mean, they were the culprit that came up most frequently in this survey. And this was a survey of independent pharmacy owners. And we asked them if patients or consumers have complained to them, or if they've experienced a situation where another pharmacy, usually a chain owned by a PBM, has, where the patient has been moved over to that other pharmacy without the patient's consent. And our survey found that 79% of independent pharmacies have experienced just such of an event like that, where patients have unknowingly, their prescriptions have been transferred to another pharmacy. We have instances where reports from our members in which the patient is in their pharmacy, they're picking up their prescription from their local independent pharmacy, and on their way out, as they're walking out, their cell phone rings and says, "This is XYZ, you know, big chain, PBM, and we noticed that you just got your diabetes drug, your metformin, or whatever, your atorvastatin, your Lipitor, and if you went to a different pharmacy, you'd pay less money, or if you might pay less money," they always qualify it, "you might pay less money, or you might be able to get 90-day supply," and that's as the patient is walking out the door from their local pharmacy. I mentioned earlier that PBMs control data from the patient, and they really thrive and rely on that data. So that's one instance. Our survey describes situations in which the patient receives a notice that says their prescription is available for pickup at, again, a big, you know, big chain usually owned by a PBM or PBM mail order company like Express Scripts. And the patient, they call their local pharmacy and say, "Did you move my prescription over to CVS? Did you change my prescription to mail order?" And of course, the local pharmacist says, "No, I mean, they would never do that." The patient's mystified. Sometimes that, you know, when they do some more sleuthing, they'll find out that maybe the patient did get a call at home, or someone else in the residence got a call at home, and maybe they asked some questions about their prescription drugs, but the patient didn't realize they were asking about transferring their medication somewhere else. I mean, it could be a question like, "Would you like to pay less for your prescription drugs?" Yeah, I mean, who wouldn't say yes to that? No matter if they were paying a dollar, they'd like to pay less. Sometimes that's all the information that's taken from the consumer that triggers that prescription being transferred somewhere else. Sometimes the physician's office is called. We've heard stories where the physician's office is called saying that the patient wants to transfer their prescription. We even had a situation where an independent pharmacy owner, his own sister, her prescription was transferred from his pharmacy to one of the big chains without her knowledge. So it's a problem that's been going on for quite a while, and it continues to this day.
Connecticut East this week reached out to CVS about this particular survey, and we asked them about it and what their thoughts were. And they actually responded by saying, and I'm reading verbatim here, a response from their media office: "The survey conducted by the Business Trade Association, NCPA, of its own members has no basis in fact. It is nothing but a self-serving attempt to disparage CVS Health, and their accusations about us are simply not true." What's your reaction to that?
I think the results speak for themselves. I mean, it is a survey of independent pharmacies, and that's how it was described. You know, I think that really the onus is on them to prove that they're not steering patients to their own pharmacies. They're in a unique situation because they are, now that they have acquired Aetna, they are a health plan. They are a brick and mortar store. They also have their own mail order company, for especially for specialty medications, the high dollar drugs for particularly sensitive patients. And then they also own a PBM. So they are a price giver. So that means that they decide how much their competitors will be paid. And they're also a price taker. So they take their own price. They decide on their own price. So they're in a unique position to be able to direct patients to several different channels. We reported on the experience of our pharmacies. You know, the survey results speak for themselves.
The 340B program seems to be causing issues as well. I mean, apparently it's always been quite a contentious sort of healthcare discount program, but this involves the actual drug manufacturers this time. What's the problem there? What is it that they're now causing?
Well, the 340B program is a government program. It's been around for, I believe, 28 years. And it's a unique program that was originally created to help lower income patients and also to provide some funding for rural hospitals or hospitals with disproportionately indigent patients or poorer patients. The program has really grown dramatically over the last 10 years or so. And it's caused some manufacturers some heartburn because the program really has no, it's almost without rules. And recently, it was determined that because the program, much of the program's quote unquote rules have been determined by what are called guidances. So instead of a regulation or a law, it's a guidance from a federal agency, that the guidances don't, you know, they're not a rule. They're not a regulation. So you don't necessarily have to abide by the guidance. And a few of the drug companies have said, well, if I don't have to abide by this guidance, I'm going to change my behavior in this program. You know, I mentioned the analogy to a New York Yankees and hiring your own umpires. Well, this would be the analogy of trying to play a game, but with no rules for anyone to go by. So it needs a better definition of what a patient is, what patients qualify for the program. But until that happens, there's going to be a lot of disruption between the health systems that qualify for this program, which is most of them, and the pharmaceutical manufacturers. The pharmacies are in the middle, and we're providing these drugs to patients, and it's definitely causing disruption among the pharmacies too, because at least one of the manufacturers is saying, well, we're not going to let the pharmacies dispense our drug. It can only be dispensed in the hospital or in the health system. So it's got a lot of moving pieces. It's very political. The impact on some patients will be that when they try to get some of their medications from their pharmacy, they won't be able to. They'll have to only go to the health system's pharmacy. So far, that's only one or two manufacturers, so it's pretty limited in the impact. But if others adopted that same policy, it could become more widespread for those patients who qualify for 340B prescriptions.
What can Americans do to try and help? Is there something that they can do by way of contacting either organizations? Can you just help us out there?
For those who are impacted, they need to reach out to their members of Congress and let them know what's happening. Also, even their local legislators, because their local legislators can bring that message up to some of the federal legislators.
I suppose it's really a case of ask more questions when it comes to your health and your healthcare.
Absolutely. Talking with your pharmacist, again, especially the independent pharmacist, because they have that economic information as well as the clinical information, which all pharmacists have. They're able to combine those two and help patients find more affordable choices if it's necessary for their medications, kind of lay out their best options. That's very important. I think just knowing about PBMs, again, the PBMs really don't, they prefer to be in the background. And that's why most people have not heard of them, because when it comes to light, some of the control they have, the dominance they have, it makes people ask questions that they really don't like to answer. So knowledge is power, and being aware of that your prescription drug benefit is how important that is, and really protecting and standing up for your prescription drug benefit.
Doug Hoy, CEO of the National Community Pharmacists Association. Thank you ever so much for bringing up these particular aspects for us and for clarifying some of these situations. And we look forward to speaking to you in the future. And certainly, we also look forward to see what the Supreme Court's decision is on the PBMs. Thank you again for joining us.
My pleasure, Brian. Thank you.
And don't forget, if you have questions about your health insurance and what it does or does not cover you for, then speak to your insurance agent, your local independent pharmacist, or you can always contact the health advocate in Connecticut, Ted Doolittle, and his team at their website, ct.gov/OHA.
Green Valley Tree LLC is proud to sponsor Connecticut East This Week. Contact Green Valley Tree LLC for all your tree removal and plant health care needs and more. Find us at greenvalleytreeworks.com or call 860-234-4041.
Time now for a look at some of the other stories making the headlines in the region recently. And in the Connecticut Examiner, the Connecticut State College and University system is facing a larger than expected $69 million deficit in fiscal year 2021 after a 15% decline in enrollment at its 12 community colleges added to a $52.5 million deficit at the four state university campuses. In the day this week, Governor Lamont has signed a new executive order giving leaders of municipalities such as New London and Norwich that are experiencing a surge in COVID-19 cases the authority to revert to more restrictive limits on the number of people allowed at certain businesses and gatherings. Lamont recently visited New London, a city where the daily COVID-19 case rate reached 30.5 per 100,000 between September 20th and October 3rd. In the Norwich Bulletin, fiery speeches and occasionally heavy rain marked the start of a two-day nurses' strike at the William W. Backers Hospital recently, with labor union and elected officials lambasting the leadership of the hospital and its parent company. The strike came after the union and hospital officials were unable to reach an agreement on a new three-year contract. In the Middletown Press this week, an anticipated $2 million renovation of Middletown's 62-year-old public pool will not only equip the facility with state-of-the-art technology and make it ADA accessible, but help preserve the recreation area for generations to come. In the Chronicle, a proposed arboretum will pack its trunks and move into the town of Chaplin later this month. Trees will be planted at Edward Garrison Park over the next 3 years as part of the town's bicentennial, which will be marked in 2022. And if you're 65 or over, then don't forget to review your Medicare plan as the annual Medicare open enrollment period has started and goes on until December 7th. Also, Connecticut East this week has learned that two plan suppliers, SilverScript and WellCare, may be making changes to their preferred pharmacy network. So do check to see if your local pharmacy you currently use to get your prescription drugs from will be staying on their preferred networks or not. That's all from us for this edition. Do send us your questions and story ideas to the show via our website at connecticut-east.com or Facebook or Twitter at Connecticut East, where you can also listen to the show again on demand. And please like, follow and share on your social media platforms too. I'm Brian Scott Smith. Thank you for listening.